hope, healing, well-being. This is what you need to live a happy, fulfilling, and healthy life. Hope, healing, and well-being. This is where you'll learn to reduce stress and anxiety, strengthen your immune system, and become healthier in mind, body, and spirit. Each week, we'll inspire you with stories of people who have not just survived, but thrived, and introduce you to physicians, therapists, holistic practitioners, and best-selling authors who will give you insight into new skills and self-care practices. So join Mary Tracy O'Keefe as she guides us to living each day to the fullest. Now here's Mary.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to today's Hope, Healing, and Well-Being Show. I'm your host, Mary Tracy O'Keefe, and our show is a program offered by the Well Within Center in Woodbury, Minnesota. And at Well Within, we offer integrative healing resources, classes, support, and services to foster healing of mind, body, and spirit, as well as overall well-being. You can find more about us at our website at wellwithin.org or our integrative healing website, becomingwell.org. And, of course, we'd love to have you join our Facebook community at facebook.com/wellwithin. Well, today we are talking about a very important topic near and dear to our hearts at Well Within, because we many times encounter people, especially those living with serious illnesses, who really have a lot of worry about things. And so today our topic is The Worrywart's Companion, which is the name of a book by our guest today, Dr. Beverly Potter. And Dr. Beverly Potter received her doctorate in counseling psychology from Stanford University and her master's degree in vocational rehabilitation counseling from San Francisco State University. Beverly is noted for challenging rules and thinking of issues from a fresh perspective. Her work blends humanistic psychology, social learning theory, and Eastern philosophies to create an inspiring and original approach to handling the challenges we encounter today. A recognized authority on how to overcome job burnout, she provides keynote speeches and training for associations and corporations, and her office is in Berkeley, California. To learn more about Dr. Beverly Potter, check her website at www.docpotter.com. So welcome to our show today, Beverly. We're happy to have you.
Hello. I'm delighted to be with you.
You know, this really is a big deal topic, and your book is really, it's just, you know, it's kind of a little gem. It's not real big, but there's actually quite a few pages, but it's small. I think it's a great gift for people who are dealing with this really important issue of being a worrywart. So how do you define a worrywart? What is one?
Well, first of all, let's think about worry. What is worry? Worry is a mental fire drill of sorts.
Yeah.
Where we think about some frightening situation, and then we have an opportunity to work through it, like thinking about a fire and then how would I get out of this house type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then we're more likely in an emergency to be able to handle it. This is good. Mm-hmm. The problem with the worry wart is that, like the deer in the middle of the road with the high beams on their eyes,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
The worry wart gets paralyzed, stuck in this rut thinking, stuck in the worry,
mm-hmm.
and they can't get out of it. And then the worry, it becomes a vicious cycle of worry thoughts or scary thoughts, which trigger anxiety, and then the anxiety triggers more scary thoughts.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's, and the word worry wart comes from Old English or someplace like that.
Mm-hmm.
The dog worries the bone.
Mm.
We've all seen a dog with a bone, I mean, hour after hour grinding away at that thing.
Yeah.
That's what the worry wart does at 4 a.m.
Interesting. Well, and speaking about anxiety, so how can you tell the difference between, you know, being a worry wart or and or someone who actually has a clinical diagnosis of anxiety? You said it can go into anxiety. So where's the fine line there?
Well, I don't know that there is a fine line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anxiety is a physiological response of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And worry is a mental activity.
Mm-hmm.
The two go hand in hand. You could think of yourself, you could think of the body as a biochemical robot.
Mm-hmm.
Very sophisticated.
Yeah.
And the mind is like the computer that runs this thing. And we reside inside, like sitting in a car.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just imagine being in a car and you don't know how to drive the thing. Somebody hands you the keys.
Yeah.
You know, off you go, careening here, zooming there, hitting a tree here. Well, we're kind of like that. We're in this body careening around life.
Mm-hmm.
Where is our manual for running this thing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the good thing is that it's a self-programming robot.
Mm-hmm.
And we program it through the way that we talk to ourselves, just like you program a computer with computer language.
Yeah.
That's how we program this biochemical robot. We're talking to ourselves all the time, this endless stream of words and what we call thinking, or whatever we call it, going on in our minds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is running this thing. And we respond to that. And if we say scary thoughts, this body, all it knows is what the mind tells it. If the mind says something bad is happening, the body gets prepared to deal with it immediately.
That's right. Whether it's real or imagined, it's
it does, to the body, it's real.
Mm-hmm, that's
period.
Right.
There's no ambiguity. And we've all had this experience of sort of we're sitting in the living room, maybe we're reading a book or kind of, you know, kick back. And without even being aware of it, we see something out of the corner of our eye move and go leaping out of the chair.
Been there, done that.
And then as we leap, as we're like going through the air, then our mind or our rational thinking clicks in.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it was only the curtain.
Yeah.
Well, this is called, if you've ever read that book, by Goleman, Emotional Intelligence.
Right, yeah.
This is called the emotional back door, bypasses thinking. When you're driving down the freeway and some other vehicle or there's something in the road or whatever, you don't have time to think, oh, I see, there's a tire in the road. Which way should I turn the wheel? It's too late.
Yeah, you just react.
Instantaneously, you bypass all that and this miraculous machine acts and saves us.
Yeah.
Well, so what happens is, I like to use metaphors, as you probably already figured out. It's almost like in the back of our mind, there's this little eye that never goes to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always looking.
Sure.
And it's asking one question. Am I safe? Is everything safe?
Yeah.
Okay, because we're not like a bear with big claws and thick fur and giant teeth. And, you know, we're pretty vulnerable. Am I safe? Am I safe? And it's looking all the time. That's how it saw that little curtain out of the corner of your eye.
Sure, yeah.
And then goes zooming out.
Yeah.
Well, worry warts, especially, I mean, we're all alert all the time. We just don't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
But worry warts are even more so.
Mm-hmm.
And very perfectionistic, very performing kind of people, getting things done.
Yeah.
And this sort of thing. But this all kind of sets somebody up to be a worrier.
Mm-hmm. And talk to me about how being that way, being a worrywart, can be detrimental to one's health and well-being.
Well, this thinking of these scary thoughts, these disasters that might happen.
Mm-hmm. Or you say catastrophizing.
Now I can't even say it.
Yeah, I can't either.
Anyway.
Creating catastrophes out of everything.
Thinking about catastrophes all the time. Like I was just before I called watching the fighting in Libya.
Yeah.
This is very upsetting. This type of thing, like, oh my God. Well, the body mobilizes. The body is not built to stay in this state of alert for long periods of time. It can do it.
Yeah.
But it's just as if you got in your car and sat there and didn't have your car serviced and ran it on you know, no oil and this sort of thing. It's going to start breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happens to the body.
Mm-hmm.
Under this, what we call stress, it breaks down. I mean, we've all even seen something made out of metal. Metal can get stressed. And then all of a sudden you turn something and it breaks in your hand.
Yeah.
And you go, well, how could that happen? The metal was stressed. Well, that's what happens to the body. Now, it's important to realize that we do not want to stop worrying.
Yeah. Yeah, because talk about the benefits of worrying.
It's a mental fire drill, you see.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But we want to worry smart.
Yeah, Yeah, talk about smart worrying, because a lot of your book is about that. So talk about how to worry smarter.
Well, the worry wart gets stuck in this rut thinking and can't get beyond being fixated on a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
The smart worrier, and I'm just using that as a metaphor, if we look at Goleman's emotional intelligence, there's all these things. The person knows themselves, blah, blah, blah. One of them is, which gave me the idea for this metaphor, is the emotionally intelligent person soothes themselves.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm.
What the worry wart does is rile herself up,
mm-hmm.
constantly poking and prodding and teasing, not teasing, but scaring.
Yeah.
The smart worrier does the work of worry, which the person realizes, I'm anxious now thinking about these scary things.
Mm-hmm.
But now I've thought it through. Now I'm going to move on to problem solving.
Yeah.
Making a plan, taking some action. But now I realize that after I've done this work, I am anxious. I need to take some specific activity, take my little robot in hand, mm-hmm. and soothe myself and bring myself back to balance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The worry wart just gets stuck. It's like an indulgence. It's like when you were a kid, remember your tooth was loose?
Yep.
And it hurt to when you pushed on it?
Moved it, yep.
Couldn't keep your tongue out of there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At least my tongue was in there all the time. Poke, poke, poke. Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of like the worry wart. You can't get away from it. Can't let it go.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then each scary thought leads, it escalates. Sometimes it gets so severe that people have a panic attack.
Yeah.
And they actually go to the hospital in an ambulance thinking they're having a heart attack.
That's right. It's the same symptom. I know people that have had that happen.
Yes, and that's what's called agoraphobia. Eventually, mm-hmm. they have a fear of fear. They have a fear they're going to have a panic attack.
Yeah, yeah.
It gets so severe that some people cannot leave the bathroom.
Yeah. Wow.
For weeks.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Well, you know, it's all part of not knowing how this robot works. Anything that reduces anxiety, any action we take that reduces anxiety, we're more, this is conditioning and learning theory, we're more likely to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we develop habits. That's how we can get addicted to things,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, whether it's alcohol, coffee, watching TV, escapism of all sorts.
Yeah.
It's reducing anxiety. So the smart worrier realizes this and takes deliberate action to use things that are beneficial to reduce anxiety and get mm-hmm. back to balance, such as getting in a warm bath, you see?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
take your body. Now, I'm plagued with a back injury that I sustained in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, terrible. You never want to have an injured back.
Yeah.
It's just one of the worst things. Well, somewhere after years of misery, I mean, it didn't bother me when I was young, but as I got older and damaged over, I discovered that for me, hot bath, hot tub,
mm-hmm.
I think of it as the ultimate in California cosmic. You know what I mean? And not only that, it's great because, I mean, some people have all this mental discipline. They sit there and they're going, om, and all this stuff. Well, I just have to pick up this body and put it into the water.
Yeah.
You see?
Yep.
Because then the water does it for me.
Yeah.
Now, I can also help by, you know, lowering the lights and putting in some live music or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's better than, say, drinking some alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we can take all kinds of modalities. We could have some soothing tea, on and on.
Mm-hmm. You've got 21 of them in your book, actually. So
right, the 21 ways to soothe yourself mm-hmm. and, quote, worry smart.
Yep.
The idea being, yes, we worry. We get the job of worrying done. We don't want to be a Pollyanna ignoring everything,
mm-hmm.
but we don't want to be stuck there.
Right.
Making ourselves and everybody else that we're around us totally miserable.
Yep. So let me give you a situation that's you know, something that we hear a lot about is that we see people with very serious illnesses, including a lot of folks with cancer and stage 4 diagnoses, and of course, they do have very legitimate concerns about their future. And I can see the positive part is that you engage in some behaviors that will, you know, keep yourself healthy and minimize your chance of reoccurrence if you can and all that sort of thing. But how would you give advice to somebody who really has a very, very serious illness to lower their worry threshold and to not be a worrywart about it? Because they do have a legitimate concern, obviously.
Well, absolutely. But focusing on it and thinking about it and scaring yourself about it doesn't help. We all know this.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The person needs to, I mean, for one thing, let me tell you a little secret.
Mm-hmm.
None of us are getting out of here alive.
That's right.
Okay.
That's exactly
so
right.
Ultimately, in a way, I mean, this sounds horrible to say this.
Yeah.
But, and my husband did die from cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was horrible. No, I'm just saying it's not like I haven't had some
experience. No, you've been there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But in a sense, these people are fortunate in a way because their attention is drawn to their mortality.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us just skip along. I mean, I know I'm immortal.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know I'm deluding myself.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
this person who's been given this diagnosis and has now, you know, this thing looming, it's harder to deny. So they're lucky in the sense, I mean, it's all a matter of sort of talking yourself into things, really.
Yeah,
I am really
is.
Fortunate because this is making me pay attention to the fact that I need to enjoy today.
Yes, that's exactly.
I need to. I'm going to teach myself to look for the joy today.
Mhm. Mhm.
You see, we forget about this. They're all absorbed in all of this stuff that is ultimately meaningless.
Mhm.
You know.
Yeah. Well,
and
you do hear a lot of people. Go ahead.
Well, this is the essence of this, the thing that we've all heard but don't think about. Stop to smell the flowers.
Yeah, that's right.
The power of now.
Yeah. Well, and we, and I've had cancer myself too, but we certainly have heard from a lot of people how they would not have changed things at all, that the cancer diagnosis, even those who eventually lose their life to it, many people have said it's been a great gift because of the wisdom and, you know, the reshaping of priorities and the living fully in the moment, all the things that you can learn. But it is a choice, and I liked actually what you had to say about finding joy and that really is a discipline that you can develop, isn't it, to look
it's
for.
It's a mental habit that we
mm-hmm.
learn, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of, like, my grandmother, whose given name was Ceres, but she was kind of a bird-like little person.
Mm-hmm.
She'd knock on the door and stick her head in and go, yoo-hoo,
yoo-hoo.
Nobody can remember the name Ceres. When she and my grandfather would travel in their retirement,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
she changed her name to Dolly.
Oh, I love that.
Like at 80 years old. Dolly, okay. So, but she was a veteran worrywart.
Oh, she was. Oh,
oh God, it was ridiculous. I mean, I remember we did travel a lot and we'd visit, and it's like, oh, no, you can't suck on a lollipop in the car. I mean, if you're sucking on a lollipop and you had an accident, you don't swallow. And it's like, give me a break. Of course, then I'd tease her.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
one time she's visiting, and I had on these white, I'm a teenager, these white pants, capri pants or something, with mm-hmm. big yellow and orange and red dots. Well, she mm-hmm. thought they were too sexy. She comes up, she says, well, so I go, well, Grandma, I mean, it just has, I would tease her in person. I go, well, you know, I mean, the boys just asked me to dance once. She goes, oh, yeah, I could see her heart pounding in her chest.
Oh, my gosh, that's great. That's great. Oh, that's funny. Well, and now you're making me laugh, and, of course, that's one of your other steps is to.
Laughing.
Laughing, yeah.
Laughing, you know.
Yeah.
There's one silly exercise where you sit in a chair, and you count to three, and then you leap up and deliberately laugh. Well, you can't do this more than once or twice.
Yeah.
Without
yeah.
genuinely laughing.
Yeah.
And this tells the computer, hey, things are good.
That's right.
Instead
That's
of
right.
The disaster is looming. Or, I mean, it's a matter of managing this robot.
Yeah.
Do you know that if you wear yellow or rose-colored glasses, I mean, all of these little wisdom things
mm-hmm.
have meaning. If you put those rose-colored glasses on,
mm-hmm.
you actually feel warmer.
Really?
Oh, yeah, your mood goes up because it's telling your brain. Or yellow glasses like they have in skiing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everything looks sunny.
Sure.
We
that
feel
sense,
better when the sun's out. We feel lousy when it's cloudy.
That's for sure.
So we can trick ourselves into feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, just as you were saying that, I suddenly realized that well within has two meanings. It's well being better, but it's also the deep well.
That's exactly right. Going into the well and the idea, well, I mean, we could go on about that, but it's really the distinction between healing and curing. You know, you're not always going to be cured on the outside or whatever, but you can be healed within, absolutely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, once again, all of that healing, you know, there's only one thing that can heal the human body.
What's that?
And that's the body.
Mm-hmm.
Medicine doesn't heal us.
Yeah.
It only helps to create an environment in the body so it can heal itself.
Mm-hmm. So all healing is self-healing, really.
The body heals itself. Something else doesn't, you know, doesn't
mm-hmm.
heal. I mean, even if the doctor stitches us up
mm-hmm.
with the needle and the thread,
yep.
somehow, magically, it's really unbelievable, actually.
Mm-hmm.
All those cells start glowing together. And
mm-hmm. It is amazing. And I'm thinking that as you're talking, that speaking of that, that worrying can be detrimental to that healing process, whereas, you know, incorporating some of these other things you're talking about can foster it.
Absolutely.
Am I right on that, or is there research on that? Or it seems like that intuitively.
Well, there's plenty of research that shows that stress is correlated with dis-ease.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Disease and bad things happening. I mean, it upsets the body. I mean, you know, juices are in our stomach and mm-hmm. the wrong hormones are zooming around and we're breathing shallowly and on and on and all of this. It'll be like, I didn't water my garden.
Yeah.
Why are those plants limp?
Yeah.
Look at those brown leaves. How could that happen? I guess it's because I have the plant in the basement.
Yeah. So we have to be assisting that process. I just want to take a break, Beverly, because I want to just welcome anybody who has just maybe joined us right now. You are listening to the Hope, Healing, and Wellbeing Show, and I am Mary Tracy O'Keefe. And today we are talking with Dr. Beverly Potter about one of her many books, and she has so many, we can't even remember how many, right? But this book we're talking about today is The Worry Wart's Companion. So welcome back. Beverly, I want to talk a little bit. You've mentioned a couple times thinking, and you know, I wasn't thinking so much about the role of thinking and worrying. And you talk about this concept of flexible thinking. Can you talk about that a little bit? And
worry words get into what we call rut thinking,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like being on a rail or in a rut.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever been a skier, when I was a teenager, I lived to ski.
Mm.
You get your skis in those ruts. You can't turn them. Can't get out.
Yep.
Okay, well, that's what happens to worry wart. But thinking is actually a behavior, just like throwing a ball or standing up or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking responds just like those things, too. And we can control our thinking, and we can get to be better thinkers. That's what debating is all about and so forth. What happens with it, now there's this guy whose name is De Bono, and he's an expert in creativity and
mm-hmm.
thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And he developed this little thing called the six thinking hats, because
mm-hmm.
metaphors help to just talk about thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, put on your thinking cap type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got these colors for them.
Mm.
And the problem is that worry warts go straight to what he calls the black hat.
Mm.
And if you think of black judges' robes,
mm-hmm.
the judge is judging.
Yeah.
And when you judge, you go, oh, that is bad.
Yeah.
Now, what could go wrong, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we need to think about what could go wrong so we could be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute we get into that particular hat, we can't get out of it.
Yeah.
And so what the six thinking hats is about is starting to first understand that there are six different kinds of thinking. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's more productive to wear these other hats first.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got them. The first hat is the white hat, which helps us to remember there's no judgment there. It's just white.
Mm-hmm.
And what are the facts, ma'am?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing but the facts here.
Mm-hmm.
Because we get facts and feelings all mixed up.
We sure do.
So the first thing is, what are the actual facts? What is the event? The tree fell in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what?
Yep.
And then, you know, that's just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next hat, so you go through it, you go, all right, well, what are the facts? And then the next one is red hat. Red is feeling.
Okay.
Well, how do I feel about these facts?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it, or I don't care, or, you know, it
mm-hmm.
scares me, or whatever.
Yeah.
This helps you to parse these things out. You feel more in control. The more you're in control, the less you feel anxious.
Yeah.
Less anxious, the less worry.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is, what's working? That's the yellow hat. Like the sun glowing on it. That's the smiling Pollyanna. What's good about this?
Mm-hmm.
See, once we get in that black hat, we can't see anything good.
Yeah.
That's why we got to do all this other stuff first. Well, you know, everything is like you were just saying, these cancer patients saying, you know, this is really a blessing. It seems very bizarre. I mean, how can you say that?
That's right, yeah.
But in fact, none of us are getting out of here alive.
Yeah, yeah. And they're looking for the blessings, too.
Yes, because, you know, it's the now. I mean, I've been in the now my whole life.
Mm.
I remember standing in my parents' car in the front seat, but it was still me.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't changed.
Wow.
Everything else has just changed. Then the next head is green, like growing.
Mm-hmm.
What's possible here?
Yeah.
Where are the hidden possibilities? You know, the silver lining. How can I make all this better?
Mm-hmm.
Then we get to the black hat.
Ah, okay.
After we've gone through all of these other analyzed, because the black hat just, it takes over. It triggers the anxiety. The anxiety blots everything out. It's like the octopus ink,
mm-hmm.
which is black, isn't it?
Yep, yep.
Then you get into what could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then the blue hat is the authority,
mm-hmm.
the uniform. The blue hat is kind of the meta level or the in-charge hat,
mm-hmm.
the decider. And that's like, okay, now that I've analyzed this, what's the next step? What am I going to do?
Yeah.
See, so that helps us think through to break out of, see, now the this robot and this computer brain that we have or mind, it's very complex. And yet on other levels, it's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's curious. But it can only think about one thing at a time,
mm-hmm.
at least consciously in our minds. We can't be thinking about two or three things at a time. So this can help us, you see,
mm-hmm.
in managing this runaway worry that gets control and goes galloping around.
Yeah.
Because
very
what
helpful.
We do, this is what, like, counting.
Mm-hmm.
Or focusing on, the idea is stick something else in that mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so some people have, quote, worry beads.
Yeah.
We could maybe think of a rosary as a little like a worry bead, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you put
absolutely.
Your finger on the first bead, and then you say, you either count it or you say the prayer. And when you're saying a prayer, for example,
mm-hmm.
prayer is very helpful with worry.
Yes. Yeah, say more about that because...
Well, when you say the prayer, I mean, who knows why? I mean, out here in California, everybody likes to snort about prayer. Oh, you're doing that? how silly an old family.
Yeah, how
well,
old-fashioned.
Right, there was a Gallup poll, something like 97% of Americans believe in the afterlife.
Yeah.
And huge numbers of people pray.
Right.
Praying is very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for one thing, it generates a sense of hope. Like, there really is some kind of reason behind all of this. I don't understand what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But there is. Everything isn't really insane and out of control like
yeah.
it seems.
Yeah.
And the words are going on in our minds. So while we're saying these soothing words to this higher power, which, after all, we were born as babies and had these big parents. It's,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're used to this arrangement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It helps to calm us down. We're calmed down because now we're not saying the scary things, for one thing. We're saying the prayer.
You're replacing it with the prayer. Yep.
Exactly. And then this has little side things. Like, what worry warts do is they imagine the catastrophe.
Yep.
Now, on a probability level, usually the catastrophe doesn't happen.
Right.
But
right.
sometimes it does.
Yep.
Okay, they're always imagining that, and they're always, you know, sort of pumping themselves up. But you could say, wait a minute, you catch yourself doing it, you go, uh-oh, I'm doing that, and then deliberately switch your mind to, I'm going to expect a miracle.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
Right. The Expecting a Miracle is one of my more favorite ones. Another one that I like is Underreacting.
Yeah, say more about that.
Worry warts overreact. The smallest little thing, and it's, oh, my God. Oh, the disaster. Chicken Little. The sky is falling. Oh, my God. It's awful.
Yeah.
Underreacting is deliberately saying, because it's the nature of what we're saying to ourselves.
Yeah, the messages.
And so a while ago, a year or so ago, somebody rammed my car down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And the poor woman was standing on the side of the road. And the woman is, like, practically hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just a rammed car. And a few years ago, I had... I'm a rental property owner. I'm always schlepping around with my ladder and tools and stuff. And I fell off a ladder.
Oh.
Went very high.
Yeah.
But my finger got caught and ripped off.
Oh, ouch.
I ripped it off and broke my rotator cuff. Well, so I now have 9 digits, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This woman is hysterical. I kept holding my hand up, showing her my missing finger, going, pointing at it, going, I use this now. I can feel it right now, okay?
Yeah.
I'm pointing at it. I'm going, it's only a car. It's not your hand.
Oh, God.
You know, like, so this is one of my underreactive. I get it, you know, how you can get into road rage.
Yes, yes.
Faster, gotta get there. It's insane, you know.
Yes.
I tell myself, wait a minute, I'm not in a hurry.
Yeah.
Or something like that, you know, I hate it. Some bummer, like I had a little water leak in Palo Alto. $750 of water that went into the ground I got to pay for. I could get upset. I could think of a lot of things to do with $750.
Yeah, yeah.
So I say to myself, it's only money.
Yeah, it's only
it's
money.
Not
it's
my
only
arm.
Stuff. Yeah, that's exactly right.
You see?
Finger. Yeah, that's exactly
right. And so I feel it all the time. 4 years ago, I feel it right now. It's very bizarre.
So it's that, is that, that
and so when I notice myself feeling this non-existent finger, I use it like, wait a minute, wake up, pay attention. What are you doing?
A little sign to you, huh? Oh, that's great.
So I use it, Sabe. I mean, if I, it's on my right hand. If I had a choice, I would rather have lost the little finger on my left hand.
Yeah.
But aside from that, you know, I mean, it was kind of a minor thing considering.
It could have been,
I could have hit my head on a cement
thing.
Step
yeah, that's right.
And be a vegetable right now.
Yeah, And well, and you know, as you're saying that, I realize just it's so contagious, our reaction. You know, like you could have gotten all hyped up with the woman in the accident as well. I mean, it's just contagious. But
yes,
so
is it
the
is.
Calming. The calming part is contagious too, because I'm sure
that's
you
right.
calmed her down by your demeanor and your reaction, right?
That's right. I'm just trying to say, like, you know, this is not a catastrophe.
Yeah.
It's besides, it's not your car that's wrecked. It's mine. Unfortunately, I have another one, you know. And it was
$5,000. Oh,
of course,
geez.
I, you know, it wasn't my bill, but still, you know.
Yeah.
But,
right.
I mean, nobody's hurt here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big deal. Things happen, you know.
That's right.
Let's get into perspective. It's not like... You know, somebody is injured and being hauled off somewhere.
Yeah, it's all, it's just a matter of...
Yeah, and that little finger episode, just the hospital bill, and I was only there a half day, over $20,000.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yes.
Big, that's big.
The expensive
big.
Finger. I'm going to bump it in gold.
Oh,
I still had it. You know, but a lot of it is like here we're joking around about these scary things, see?
Yeah,
there's something about laughing...
Yeah, that's right.
See, you can't be sitting and standing at the same time. You see, so that's called using incompatible behaviors. You can't be relaxed and tense at the same time. So, like psychologists who use relaxation to desensitize fears, get the person to think about the fear in a state of relaxation.
Different ballgame,
Because you can't be relaxed and tense both.
Yeah.
And this idea that you can start learning with your mind to get your body to, quote, relax.
Yeah.
You see. And there are ways of doing this that we know, but we don't know we know.
Yeah.
And one of them is very simple. You can do it anywhere, anytime, as often as you like without becoming an addict. Or drawing any attention, and it's called breathing.
Oh, yeah.
When we get scared, we start hyperventilating.
We do, yep.
And if we were to sit and just deliberately hyperventilate, we would create anxiety in our body or a feeling of tension.
Mm-hmm.
And when you breathe very deeply, where you take the breath in and hold it,
yep,
and let it out slowly, and you do this several times. Mm-hmm. You can do this all the time when you're waiting on hold, standing in line, sitting in your car, any place.
It's
becoming more aware of, wait a minute, I am getting freaked out. I'm getting anxious because I'm sitting here in traffic and I'm supposed to be at this appointment or whatever. That's the cue. Oh, wait a minute, I'm doing that now.
Yeah.
It's useless. It doesn't get anything. I may as well just relax and enjoy the music on the radio. Let's take some deep breaths and learn to relax.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that we do this, whereas the worry wart just starts getting more and more and more hyper, you know. By the way, I noticed, and this watching yourself like you're a puppet.
Yeah.
See, you're really a puppet on the string. Mm-hmm. And the more that you watch and study that puppet, the more you can figure out how the thing works. Well, if you pull this string, the foot comes up, see.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that I used to be one of those people who's always at least 3 hours late.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never late now, okay? Never. I don't wear a watch. I'm never late.
Yeah.
You notice I called you 1 minute before 10?
Yeah.
But I noticed that when I'm in a car and I think I'm going to be late,
mm-hmm.
I catch myself trying to find somebody to blame.
Oh.
I just do it all the time. I think, those rotten instructions you gave me.
You're coming up with your excuses. Unfortunately,
but I catch myself all the time because, you know, way back when, you know, I was 19 years old and I was always late.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really late. I would always have to, you know, have some excuse, somebody to blame. It's not my fault.
Yeah.
You know.
What changed your behavior to being so conscientious about the time?
To getting over that little problem that I was taught by my mother and brother who always late?
Mm-hmm.
The same thing that I did to a girlfriend of mine who was late.
Mm.
Leave the person.
Yeah.
I had this boyfriend who was intolerant. I'm late. He's not there.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Well,
I'm standing on the corner. So I had this friend who, we're going to meet at 5 o'clock. I get there. Oh, she didn't start getting ready yet. I got to sit there for an hour. Like, give me a break.
So
one day we were supposed to meet in San Francisco, and I'm sitting there. She's supposed to be on the bus. Bus came. She wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I've had it with this.
Yeah.
I left her.
Yeah.
And went to the party. She was never late again.
Oh, so that'll do it.
It works very well.
Yeah.
You see, because otherwise people, they're just all furious at you.
Yeah.
They tell you all these lies, like the party starts at 8, but they tell you you got to be there at 5.
Yeah. Play the games. Yeah. Well, thank you for that tip. Now, in addition to not being a worry, we all know how to deal with that person who's chronically late.
Well,
Leave them.
Tough love, you see. We think we're being nice by being so compassionate and easy. You're not. You're just taking the person. It's like giving the alcoholic a drink.
Yeah, you're enabling them, absolutely.
You know, but who wants to feel bad about being tough love?
Yeah, that's right.
You see?
That's right.
So.
Well, we're coming to an end here, but my gosh, you've given us some great tips, and I love the laughing with you too, Beverly. So I really appreciate
it. Well, we got to keep laughing, otherwise
we do.
We'll be crying.
We do. I do want to add one thing because we've talked about this on other shows too, but you know, you talked about the catastrophe that may or may not happen. For most people, it's not happening right now. That's the whole thing.
Right.
We are all going to die, or even if your kid does get in the car accident, you know, 5 years from now, it's usually not happening right now. And
you got between now and 5 years, and if you,
that's
you know,
right.
don't have
that,
a
well,
crystal ball.
That's right. So you're going to either ruin those 5 years by being worried about it constantly, or you're going to enjoy what's going on in front of you in the moment. So I think that that's one of my biggest takeaways is just that.
Right. And, you know, that old saying of Woody Allen, I'm really not worried about dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens.
Yeah, when you figure out that one, write another book, will you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so true. Well, Beverly, you've been just delightful. And I'm so glad that you were with us today. Everybody, listen to, first I'll just say to invite listeners to join us next week. We're going to be talking to Jane Percy. She's got a book called Lighten Up, win and losing. And why I invited her to be on is because she's going to be talking about the role of hypnosis and weight loss. I'm curious about that. And then also, please do join us on Facebook /wellwithin and email me your questions and comments at mtoradio@gmail.net. Beverly, thank you again. Your website again is docpotter.com. I think people are going to want to go out and get this book.
And that's D-O-C, like, what's up, Doc?
Yeah. Why does that not surprise me? Not Dr. Potter, Doc Potter, D-O-C, P-O-T-T-E-R. And Beverly Potter, you've been a delight and a joy to be with today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
For further information about the Well Within Center, go to wellwithin.org. That's wellwithin.org. You can find Mary's book, Thin Places, Where Faith is Affirmed and Hope Dwells, and information about her inspiring presentations by going to marytracyokeefe.com. You can find both these addresses on the screen in front of you. And if you missed a show, you'll find it in archived shows. Thank you, and we'll see you next week right here for another episode of Hope, Healing, and Well-Being.